Well, welcome to After Sunday, a podcast of Calvary Baptist Church. I'm Pastor John. Joining me today is our Associate Pastor of Worship, Will. And Will, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, glad to be here.
Yeah. I want to start with a question that I think people are kind of carrying around, but they're not saying out loud.
Sure.
Is it okay not to feel at peace even when you know you should?
Great question. I think most people assume the answer is just no, you know, get it together.
Right, right. Which is the opposite of what Jesus says in this passage.
Yeah.
And today we're going to set with two questions that the sermon on Sunday raised but didn't fully resolve. If Christ has already transferred his peace to every believer, why do so many people who genuinely love him still feel like they can't get to it, right? They just can't. That peace is there, but they just can't get it.
Sure.
And is that connected to how well we're actually listening to the guide he sent to lead us there? And of course, our text was John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. Jesus is in the upper room. It's the night before the cross. He's making three specific provisions for people who are not holding it together.
Yeah.
A guide, peace, and a command. And the whole point is that he's the one doing the providing. Mm. So let's kind of get right into it, and we'll start just with this question. As you were listening to the message, what stuck with you from Sunday's message? Is there something that maybe you're still thinking about?
Yeah, in verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." One of the things that you brought out in the message is about how the Comforter is a person,
right,
not an influence.
Yes, yes.
I thought that was so well done, because the Comforter is a person, right? A person, he teaches, he reminds, he comforts, and as you mentioned in the message on Sunday, he gives peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
An influence doesn't have the ability to do those things other than what it's naturally born to do.
Right, right.
Right? You mentioned, different things in the message. One of the things that came to my mind was elements, rain, snow.
Yeah.
They influence us,
yeah,
right? But
true.
They do not have a function outside of what they were designed to do.
Yeah.
You don't have a relationship with those things. And you mentioned that,
yeah,
how you don't have a relationship with those things. They don't really, they impact you, but they don't have an effect on you.
Yeah, they don't know your name. They don't know your circumstance. They don't even care.
Exactly. They have no emotion, nothing behind it. And sometimes it's, they give us emotions, they affect us.
Right, right, right.
But they're not there to help us or comfort us, right?
Yeah.
And a verse that comes to my mind about how Christ is more, or the Holy Spirit, excuse me, is more than just an influence, but he's a person. It says in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption."
You can't grieve an influence.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, snow can make us grieve from time to time, and so can weather, but we don't have an effect on the snow. It
right.
only affects us.
Yeah.
And so this, with the Holy Spirit as a person that you brought on during Sunday message, it really showcases God's intention, his intentionality behind having the person, the Holy Spirit, live inside of us.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
And that's so important today, right? Because so many people just, they feel like he's just something, some influence, some, you know, for a lot of people, even just a feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, and he isn't. He is a person who does hear and he does know us by name. And, you know, again, the wonderful thing is he does teach us and he does guide us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think for me, it's when Christ once again repeated, "Let not your heart be troubled."
Yeah.
And then he added, "Neither let it be afraid." When I was studying for this message, that really spoke to my heart. And what really spoke to me was the difference between what is trouble and what is being afraid.
Yeah.
Because trouble, as I said Sunday, you know, that has the idea of an agitation. In fact, I don't know if I really said this in the message or not, but it has the image of water that's being violently thrown into confusion by a storm.
Sure.
Yeah. If you ever been on a, you know, a boat out in the middle of a storm, everybody knows what that's like. It's it's not fun.
Yeah.
And it's that agitation of the conditions, the circumstances around us that are pressing on us so much that from without is causing us anxiety or concern.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes panic.
Sure. Yeah.
Now the word afraid is different. Or the word afraid is something that it comes from the inside. It's not necessarily being from the outside. We're troubled by what's being on the inside, but then our reaction comes from the inside. How are we reacting to that? And the word afraid literally means to be timid. And I didn't really say this because I was kind of holding back on Sunday, but it really is being a coward. It's really the idea is to act cowardly.
Wow.
And what we do is we shrink back from the storm.
Yeah.
When Christ is saying, listen, no, you need to stand up to the storm.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be afraid of the storm, because why?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit lives within us.
That's right.
And my peace I give you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but that just really spoke to my heart. I just thought, you know, if we could just come to a point in our lives where we could just understand that one small concept.
Absolutely.
How much would that change our lives?
Yeah, a lot, especially knowing when we have a person of the Trinity, God,
right,
inside of us.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what reason do we have to be afraid?
I think about that a lot. Now, I get afraid.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. Things trouble me. You know, I'm just as much in the boat with everybody as everybody else. But at the same time, the more I'm with the Lord, the more I study the Word of God, the more I understand who God is, the more I'm able to face then those difficulties.
Sure.
Knowing that.
Absolutely. Think of Peter, right?
Yeah.
Walking on the water.
Yeah.
I mean, he's literally in the middle of experiencing a miracle of God.
Mm-hmm.
But what does he do?
Yeah.
He looks to the right and the left, and then in fear begins to sink.
And we're so quick to judge him for that, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're like, Peter, you had Christ standing right in front of you. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But any one of us would have been there.
Yeah.
And you know, I love Peter. Peter is one of my favorite disciples.
Sure.
Because I am so much like him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Lord, I love you. No, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, not me, Lord, right? You know, we just studied that.
Yeah.
And how many of us would have done the same thing?
Yeah. You heard it here first, guys. John walks on water.
I don't walk on water. But had I been walking on water, I would have been sinking, that's for sure. There is no doubt about that. And I'm afraid of water because I can't swim. So. So again, as we think about the message, we want to sort of apply some of those things.
Yeah.
So Will, if someone is driving home today, right?
Yeah.
And they're feeling the chaos. I mean, it's pressing on them and they haven't even gotten home from work. I mean,
sure.
Obviously things are going on. What's the one thing from Sunday's message that they could actually do this week?
You know, in thinking about this, we're talking about, you know, one of the parts of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. It can seem at times so abstract.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a spirit, it's a ghost. What is that thing? How does it affect me? Mm-hmm. A verse that comes to mind is Romans 8:14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God."
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit has purpose.
Right.
It has a position in our lives. And one of the ways in which it does and it helps us is leading us and guiding us.
Yeah.
So I would say a practical thing to take away from the message this past week is this. Take a scripture verse.
Mm.
It could be the ones that we read in John 14. It could be one that you just, what verse that you love.
Yeah.
And intentionally ask the Holy Ghost to bring it back to your mind and to apply it throughout this week.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, trusting God with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. It could be, I mean, let the peace of God have, you know, rule in your hearts. I mean, there are many verses you could take and you could say, you know what, I'm going to apply that verse today.
Yeah.
But what you're doing by inviting the Holy Ghost to do that is you're saying, God, I'm letting you lead me in Scripture.
Yeah.
Versus let my emotions lead me.
Yeah. Right. No, I think that's great. And to take that maybe one step further is, you know, they could get like a 3x5 index card.
Yeah.
You know, maybe multiple. Write that same verse on each card.
Yeah.
Put it on the mirror in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Put it on the console of their car.
Yeah.
That way, throughout the day,
They're
able to meditate down. They
Absolutely.
Don't necessarily have to memorize it. They just see it in different places.
Yeah, thing that I do oftentimes is I'll put up reminders on my phone with alarms.
Yeah, yeah.
To say, hey, do this. Or, hey, take time to pray. Or, hey, remember this verse. And it really helps me because I always get sidetracked.
Yeah.
And I forget. But when I have that reminder on my phone, it's going to notify me. And I'm going to have intentional time thinking about that.
Yeah.
So.
And if you want to take that even deeper, there's memory verse apps that you can use to actually memorize. Absolutely. I think that's great. I really believe the more we can put scripture into our minds, into our hearts, and take it with us throughout the day, obviously a lot easier for the Holy Spirit to bring those things back to remembrance.
Sure.
And help us in those situations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's great. So in the message, I gave two questions. I said, am I listening to the guide, right, to really think about it? And am I trying to find my way, my own way through the noise? Mm. I think that's a good question to ask ourselves on a daily basis. Because so many times we just automatically go to, how can I fix this myself?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Instead of turning to the Holy Spirit. Another one that I said is, am I living in the peace that's already in my hands, or am I still reaching for the world's version? And I really think if, you know, what you said and, combine that with these two, reflective questions, they can give you that moment to just stop and think about, how am I going to handle the problems of today?
Yeah,
I know for me, that time is usually in the mornings when I have my personal devotions.
Sure.
It gets my mind focused on God, first of all, and the things of Him and His Word, because then that prepares me for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not always perfect, and I don't definitely don't make it through the day without failing somehow.
Yeah.
But at least you start in the right way.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's the question is what you're doing with what He's already given you.
Yeah.
And if He's already given you something, then obviously try to use it.
Yeah.
Right?
The Bible goes a verse that says, if you seek me early, you'll find me.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing there. But the point of that is this. If you are intentional with God, He'll be intentional with you.
Right, right.
Right? You acknowledge in the morning, He'll have me help you out later on the day with an issue or a feeling or a decision you have to make.
Yeah. Some of those things come at you so quick.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right? And they sort of catch you off guard.
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared, then obviously you're going to go the wrong way.
Sure.
As they catch you off guard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this is the part of the podcast where everybody kind of waits for, right? It's, okay, we listened to the sermon. We heard what you had to say, but I have some questions.
Absolutely.
You didn't answer this, so to speak. There's something that I know that the sermon didn't fully resolve for me. If Christ has already transferred His peace to every believer, then why do so many people who genuinely love Him still feel like they can't get to Him?
Sure.
Do you want to tackle that? What do you think?
Yeah, so the Bible talks about spiritual blindness.
Right.
And one of the things the devil likes to do is to blind those.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, how the God of this world has blinded the mind of those lest they should believe the light of the glorious gospel.
Yeah.
And the devil is in a big battle royale, so to speak, with us as Christians. He wants to discourage us. He wants to divide us. He wants to do all these things the Bible talks about that are his tactics. I mean, he's called the father of lies by the children of pride. Are his children. And so one thing I would say is this. Oftentimes we rely on our ability.
Right, right. Yeah.
I mean, all through the Bible, it was men complaining to God about how I can't do this because I'm this, or I can't do that because I am that. Right.
Yeah, Moses, great example.
A great example. I mean, there's all throughout the Bible, there's examples of it. And one of the things that is a consistent theme throughout Scripture is that we have, unfortunately, taken that fruit and eaten that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm.
And that knowledge of good and evil comes at a cost. And the cost is this. We try to weigh who we are against who God is.
Yeah, too many times. Yeah.
And unfortunately, the outcome of that is we know we fall short.
Yeah.
And as you grow in your sanctification with God, it gets even deeper and further. And so that compounds and adds more feelings of, I'm nothing. I don't deserve anything. And so people don't ever try to get that peace because they think, oh, I'm too far gone, or I've done so many bad things. God can never forgive me or help me or want to do those things. When in reality, the whole point of his sacrifice was reconciliation.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants to give us the peace knowing that we are sinners.
Yeah.
That's why Christ came.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we lose our identity.
Mm.
Right. So our identity is we are his son.
Yeah.
Or child or daughter, whichever way you want to look at it. We are part of his family. He's given us, as we've already talked about, everything.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't feel his presence. Like you said, we just go automatically to this point of, I can handle this. I can do this.
Yep.
And so what we do is we just sort of just leave him out of the picture, yeah. so to speak.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I have so many thoughts going in my head about this. So they're probably going to come out kind of scatterbrained at this point. But I have people who come to me all the time, and I'll be preaching on or teaching on something like forgiveness.
Sure.
Right? You know, we're to forgive even as Christ forgave us. Mm. And one of the pushbacks I get often on that is, well, I'm not Christ.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, yes, you're not Christ. But Christ will never ask you to do something
yeah.
that he knows you cannot do.
Sure.
And he gives you the example of how to do it. But our pushback is, well, I can't do that because I'm not Christ. Well, what is that? Yeah. That's just an excuse at that point.
Absolutely.
But if you stop and think about it in relation to the Holy Spirit, you are a child of God. You just pointed it out a minute ago.
Yeah.
We are sons of God.
Yeah.
Well, so is Christ.
Yeah.
And we have the same Spirit.
That's right.
We have within us the ability to do anything that God
right.
wants us to do.
Because of the Spirit.
And even yeah. though you may not feel like he's there, usually because you don't feel that way is because you're trying to do it your way, not his way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. I mean, I think that's very interesting. I've got one more. Did you have something?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I'm going to give our church some homework on. I'm not going to go through this in detail, but I'm going to list out some things here. And what you mentioned, you kind of scratched the surface
so
with the
speak.
Services.
Yeah.
And you also gone through this in much greater detail in a Bible study. But the functions of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I think Christians really struggle with what does he do?
Oh, yeah.
How does he operate, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to give you guys some functions of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to just give you the verses. You can look them up later, but the first thing you mentioned was he comforts, right?
Yeah.
John 14:26. Mm-hmm. He teaches John 14:26. In John 14:26, it talks about bringing remembrance of Scripture.
Yeah.
John 14:27, we talked about this as well. He gives peace.
Right.
John 16:13, he guides.
Yeah.
Acts 13:2, he speaks. Romans 8:26, he intercedes for believers.
Mm-hmm.
John 16:8, he convicts of sin, righteousness and judgment. Acts 1:8, he empowers for service and witness. Thank God for that, right?
We're going to
know the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, he produces fruit in us. Which one of those fruit is peace? We're going to get to that later. But Ephesians 4:30, he seals believers. Thank God we're sealed,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 12:11, he distributes spiritual gifts as he wills.
Right.
And thank God for the gifts and that we're not all robots.
Yeah.
And lastly, one of the things he leads God's children, Romans 8:14. So there are so many functions of the Holy Spirit. Even though you call out just three or four of them in the service this past Sunday, there's so much to glean as to
right.
who the Holy Spirit is and how he affects us in our lives.
And, you know, of course, in a 30-minute message.
Exactly.
You guys know what I'm talking about when I say 30-minute message.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can cover when it comes to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm glad you brought that out because there are so many more things that he does.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I didn't have time to dwell on as well is that even in this verse, let's see here, which one was it? Verse 26.
Yeah.
It says that he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
Yeah.
I have had so many people come to me over the course of my ministry, and they'll start with something like this. Pastor, I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me to go do such and such.
Mm.
Or fill in the blank.
Sure.
And the first thing I always ask them is, do you have any verses or scripture to back that up?
Absolutely.
And then you see kind of a pause, and they're like, well, no, Pastor, I don't really have a verse. I just know the Holy Spirit's leading me to do this. And then my pushback to them is, well, the Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to do something unless it's in accordance with Christ.
Absolutely.
Because this verse specifically says that he's going to teach you all things and bring in remembrance all things that Christ has said.
Yeah.
And I think people need to be careful, and I'm sort of giving a warning here.
Yeah.
But you need to be careful about saying the Holy Spirit is leading me to do such and such if you don't have Scripture to back it
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Because he never works outside of Scripture.
Yeah.
And anytime you think he's working outside of Scripture, you better be careful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the road to false teaching and false living. And so,
a passage that comes to mind around that is John 7, verses 16 and 17. Jesus Christ is speaking. He says this, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me."
Yeah.
And it goes on to say this, and this is so important for our church to understand. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine."
Yes.
"Of the doctrine of Christ,"
right?
Right. "Whether it be of God," or, guess what? "Whether it," I speak of myself, or right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have two wills inside of us. We are literally split beings. We have our flesh, we have our conscience, and we have God. And oftentimes, Christians that use that verbiage, they're trying to justify their own personal actions.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's why it's like, if you can't give a verse, then obviously I don't think that's the Spirit doing it. It might be that pizza that you had last night.
Exactly.
Well, here's another one. So if the peace is already there, right?
Sure.
Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you," right?
Yeah.
"My peace I give unto you." If it's already there and we're still not living in it, do you think that's connected to how well we're actually listening to the guide who's supposed to be leading us to it?
That is such a good question. It's a loaded question.
It really is a loaded question.
In John 16:33, it says this. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you." This is Christ speaking again, right? "That in me ye might have peace."
Yep.
So we're seeing a recurring theme here of peace, 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 right? God wants us to have peace. And you know what's so good about the message of Sunday is this world does not have peace.
No, it doesn't.
I mean,
no.
Most Christians don't have peace in their lives.
Yeah.
It is something they struggle with continually.
So many people. Yep.
And the word here that it says, "In me ye might have peace," it's en enemy.
Mm.
Okay, not an enemy. It's Greek for en enemy, N-M-Y. It literally means inside of me, in union with me, or within my sphere.
Right.
So Christ is wanting to have a union with us.
Yeah.
It's not just a surface level, "Oh, things are okay."
Right, yeah.
It's a identity, that I have peace.
Yep.
And it hit me because Jesus is not talking about peace from circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we think of peace, we think, I have an issue or a problem or something that I need to resolve. And then once it's resolved, I'll have peace.
Right. Yeah.
That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about peace that only comes from being in union with him.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And here's where it ties to the Holy Ghost. Jesus goes on in John 14 through 16 to explain that the way we stay in him after he ascends is through the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who is the one that unites us with Christ.
Yep.
He keeps us in the fellowship with Christ.
Yep.
He makes Christ's presence real by having a relationship with him. And he delivers the peace promised from Christ. So when he's saying that in me you might have peace, he's pointing to a peace that the Holy Ghost himself applies to our hearts. Now, this is what's really cool. So it's not based on circumstances. It's not based on location. It's a union with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But here's the cool thing. Galatians 5.
Mm.
The fruit of the Spirit, right?
Right.
We often think the fruit of the Spirit is things that we do.
No.
It's the fruit of who? Not Will or John. The Spirit.
Yeah.
And what's one of those fruits?
Peace.
Peace.
Yep. In fact, you know, it wasn't that long ago on this podcast, Andrew and I were talking about the very fruit of the Spirit, right?
Sure.
And so it's amazing how God's Word just ties everything together.
It does. It really does.
And I think you're right. So many times we want to separate everything out, right? You know, we want to compartmentalize. I'll get it out this week. A few weeks ago, I had a problem with that word. But, you know, we want to put this little thing over here and that little thing over there. We do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We do the same with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, this is the Holy Spirit stuff over here. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's God the Father over here.
Yeah.
And I'm over here.
Mm.
But that's not what these verses teach.
That's right.
These verses are teaching that the minute you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in. He takes up residence within you. He is living within you.
Yeah.
And it is that union.
That's right.
Right? And it's that union by which we get the peace to be able to endure things.
Sure.
And again, it's His fruit, not mine.
Yeah. Which means to go one step further, right?
Yeah.
And really call a pot, right?
Right.
If we're living lives with no peace, we're living a life that's grieving to the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah. Or we might be living a life of a lie.
Sure.
Where we're saying that we're saved, but truly within our heart we know we're not.
Yeah. And I'm not saying you're not going to have circumstances that come up that disrupt that peace, right?
Yeah, that's why he said, let not your heart be troubled.
Exactly.
Let it not be afraid, right? Yeah. He was speaking to 11 men that he knew really believed him.
Absolutely.
That really loved him. Absolutely. That really followed him. I mean, their hearts are devastated at this point because he says, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to happen. And so it's not a, you know, it's not always the fact that, okay, I don't have peace, therefore I'm not saved.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where you probably need to check that first.
Absolutely.
Make sure that's settled. And then if that's not the case, then probably the case is like you said, you're just not living in accordance with His will.
Yeah.
Right.
And the peace that God gives, I mean, it is a supernatural
peace.
It
is.
I mean, it's unexplainable.
Yeah.
You can't explain it away with circumstance because some of these people are going through the harshest and the worst things their lives are ever going to imagine.
And if you remember in the message, I said it's a peace that also guards our heart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
And we need our heart to be guarded.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, let's see here. Guess we're down to the last thing here, and that's the prompt for this week. Every week we try to leave you with something to do, to pray, to read, to think. In fact, we gave you some application already that you can do this week. But this one is really about prayer and not really in a general sense. You know, sometimes we say, just pray.
Yeah, sure.
We're not talking about just pray. What would you say to someone about how to pray specifically out of this passage that we just had this week?
Well, I think one of the things you call out is the person of the Holy Ghost, right? Holy Spirit. So I think it starts out with who you're praying to.
Right.
Right. If you're praying to someone, this whole world, they're praying to something.
Yeah.
Right? Themselves, they're trying to lift themselves, or maybe a false god. And we're calling out that we serve the one true God.
Exactly.
Right? And so who you pray to is paramount. The whole sermon was built upon the fact that the Holy Spirit is not an influence. He's an actual person.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're praying, ask for help.
Yeah.
Ask for help. Call out on the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Say, Lord, I know that you're inside of me.
Right.
You've given me a person of the Trinity that's with me wherever I go. Mm-hmm. Please empower me. Please strengthen me. Please help me. Please give me the peace that you promised you would give me.
Right, yeah.
And so how many times we needed help, we just didn't ask for it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've certainly been there.
Yeah, I have.
You know, and it's a shame because He's right there waiting to help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that help may not be the way we expect it to be. It could just be comfort, right?
Which goes back to Peter's analogy.
Remember? Exactly. Yes.
I mean, yes, he's in the middle of the storm. He's walking on the water. He gets his eyes on circumstances.
Yeah.
He starts sinking. What's the first thing he does? He prays.
Absolutely.
Lord, save me.
Exactly.
Who's there?
He did the right thing that time. You know? He didn't have much time, okay, in the middle of that storm, but he did the right thing.
But, you know, yeah.
And sometimes it is God saving us, right? And sometimes it's God just comforting us. And,
mm-hmm.
and there's so many different ways God works. I'm not trying to put God in a box. And neither should we.
So
that's why it's important for us to really call out.
Yeah.
Call out.
Yeah, exactly. And that really is the whole sermon in a prayer, right?
You know,
I love the fact that this message was about the storm is coming.
Mm.
I mean, I brought that out in the message. These 11 men are sitting in that room. I don't know if they even really fully realized what was about to happen.
Mm.
I mean, Peter surely didn't.
Yeah.
You know, Peter's like, Lord, I'll never deny you, right?
Yeah.
And then you get in the moment of that. And again, I know we're picking on Peter a lot here.
Sure.
But I have tried so many times to put myself in Peter's place when he denied Christ.
Yeah.
And then that last denial when the Lord gives him that look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's a storm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a storm and a half.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was such a devastating storm that Peter finally said, you know what? I'm just going fishing.
Yeah. And the other thing too to think about is we always kind of compartmentalize, like you mentioned,
right?
Scripture. Christ is speaking to the would-be then early church.
Yes, yes.
Who, for the first 200 years of church history, went through some of the harshest persecution this world has ever seen.
We don't understand persecution.
I know.
We don't.
We really don't. And God is telling them with his foreknowledge.
Yeah.
The peace I'm giving you is to get you to the end. God did get them through.
Right.
The majority of all of them were martyred for Christ.
Yeah.
The early church, even though it grew substantially, the more persecution it went through. Mm-hmm. And so much so that a lot of the church fled to different areas of the region to flee persecution and to try to live through it because it was so bad. And so God's peace does not say that there won't be problems, right? Right. Actually, on the contrary,
he said there's going to be much persecution.
Exactly.
In fact, he said if they
be peace if it's all working out well.
He said if they will persecute me, you better believe they're going to persecute
you. Exactly. They hated me first, right?
How encouraging is that?
I know, right? But what a honor it is looking back at our forefathers, right? Who gave it all.
Yeah.
And the reason why they gave it all is because they knew it was real.
Yeah.
You wouldn't die for something you don't believe in like that.
Yeah.
And they knew Jesus was the Christ.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is go read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Absolutely.
If you ever get the full version of that, not the condensed version.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. It will break your heart to read story after story of people who were burned at the stake, who were persecuted in manners that we couldn't even think or imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yet, in a lot of those stories, the testimony of those people, even people who were being burned at the stake, the peace that was on their face, the way they just embraced death. Why? Because they had the promises of God.
That's right.
And they're not just empty promises. That's they're real promises. It's a real person living inside of us. It's a real peace that he gives that comes from him.
Yeah.
And I do believe that there is what we refer to often as dying grace for those that, you know, truly believe him and follow him. And I think he walks them through the valley of death. Yeah. And I think sometimes we sort of forget all of these promises.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part is that we just get ourselves so caught up in our own circumstances that we're looking at the wind and the waves and the flood and everything else going on that we just forget.
Yeah.
And these are good reminders.
And the truth is, right, God does not want us to wait until we're on our deathbed.
Right, right.
He wants us for us now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And that's the blessing we can have, is we can have this relationship now.
And I think that's why this message was so important, because the real part of this that hopefully people didn't miss is that we can live unafraid in the midst of the chaos.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of chaos. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Even here in the state of Virginia, we're getting ready to go through a lot of stuff just in a political, governmental sense, right?
Yes.
But he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still with us. And I think that hopefully that's what people got from the message.
Absolutely.
Well, Will, thanks for jumping in on this one today.
Absolutely. It was great.
Glad to have you here at the table. And here's what we want to leave you with this week. The upper room was full of people who were not holding it together. And Jesus sat down with steady hands and he gave them everything that they would need. And he gave him a guide who knows their name. He's already present. A peace that held even through Golgotha.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, Christ had great peace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the epitome of peace going through that storm.
Absolutely.
Right? But even for those men, even though they scattered, even though, you know, they were still back in the upper room.
Yeah.
They were waiting. You know, they hadn't totally quit.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, that's a peace that will hold you in whatever you're walking back into today. And again, he left us with a command, not a suggestion, to stop being agitated, to stop retreating. The provisions are in place. They were secured before we ever needed them. And the only thing left is our response, right? Stop trying to hold it together ourselves. Open our hands, stand on what he's already given. Now, next week, we're going to continue the Homebound series. The title of the message this coming Sunday is The Horizon of Home, and this will finish out John chapter 14, will be verses 28 through 31. Again, Jesus is still in the upper room, and he's about to give his disciples something to look forward to, and we'll see that one. One of the things that in my mind, as I've been studying for this message, is verse 31 at the very end. He says, "Arise, let us go hence." Mm-hmm. In other words, the storm is coming. We're walking right into it.
That's right.
So we're going to walk. We're going to walk unafraid at this moment, right?
Absolutely.
So again, if this conversation meant something to you, we'd love for you to subscribe wherever you listen. You could do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on our website, YouTube channel. We would love for you to leave a review if you have a minute. And by leaving a review, what it does is it helps more people find our podcast and listen. And if you know someone who's carrying something heavy right now, I would encourage you to share this episode with them. Sometimes the right word at the right time is all that it takes. And in the meantime, we hope that you will take some of the application that we gave you, use it this week, and we're looking forward to being back in our podcast next week.